Yeah. God will see you through it. Amen. Yeah. Yes, he will. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, he will. And he'll be right there. Amen. I want to lift up for just a little while, a few minutes of this message. Yeah, that's all right, honey. Amen. I can identify that he'll be right there. Yeah. Luke chapter 6.
Being so good to me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You didn't have to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you did.
Yeah.
And I thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, I thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
I thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Bless his name. You got something to be thankful for. That's all right. Amen. One thing I ain't is crazy. Amen. I do look around. We living in some tough times now. Amen. I was reading that old book the other night. It said, talk about how to look up when times are down. Amen. And that's good news there. That's all right. That's good news, man. Amen.
Thank you.
That's a message I just want to share, and I've been wrestling trying to put this here. And I thought today is a good day. We're working on this here. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 and 38. I want to just lift this up for just a moment. The sixth chapter of Luke, and I always try to, for the holidays, get here, talk about stewardship. And amen. Are you there? Verse 37 and 38, Luke chapter 6, verse 37, 38. It says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be what?
Forgive.
Verse 38, it says, give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And what? Shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet with it shall be measured to what? I want to talk about the dynamics of Christian generosity. Amen. The dynamics of Christian giving. Amen. And the dynamics of Christian giving. I solicit your prayers. I've been really wrestling with this giving thing, and I need to do it for the holidays. Crep upon us, and amen. The dynamics of Christian giving, amen. And we solicit your prayers, and
yes, sir.
An IRS auditor. Some of y'all familiar with them, ain't you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Investigated a man who reported a small income, but claimed to have given a large percentage away in charitable donations. Have you a receipt from your church? And the agent asked this man, trying to make the man squirm. And the man replied, sure, by providing the right documentations. When the papers were reviewed and it was clear that this man was on the level, the auditor apologized for the inconvenience and explained that he had to check the deductions that seemed unusually high. After meeting with this man, and the man invited the agent to his church. The agent said, thanks, but I belong to a church myself. Oh, excuse me, replied the man, that possibility never occurred to me. And as the agent drove home, he wondered what the man meant by that last remark. But you know, it was not until that next Sunday morning, when the agent put his unusual dollar in the offering plate, that the meaning became clear to him. Some of y'all gonna catch that on the way home, but what he was reminding him is that what you give is what you get. And if you don't give nothing, indeed people have the right to to question your profession of faith if you're not a generous person. And sometimes we're at restaurants, and I know I'm guilty of this, and they have checked on the thing sometimes 15%, 20%, and 25%, and then sometimes 10, 15, and 20%. But I share with those who are listening to me with today to understand that you can't be God's giving.
Yes, sir.
No matter how hard you try. I believe I have a responsibility to teach Christian stewardship, and those that have sat in my classes will tell you that not only I teach it, but I try to live it. But to be a sincere, faithful, and natural Christian is to live with generosity. And that's the point that Jesus makes in these two verses. He shows us the discourse on giving. But in verse 36, he reminds us here, he said, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father has also has been merciful." And I wanted to remind you of what Dr. Lewis taught us in class when I was coming up as a young man going through seminary. He reminded us of the context that as you give to God, remember, you don't give to get. You give because it's the right thing to do. I wanted to share with somebody that if you really want God to get your living to another level, you got to learn how to give to God. Christmas is coming around the corner. Thanksgiving is coming, and so many times we get so caught up in the turkey and the gift. Amen. But Jesus commands those that his followers to imitate the mercy of God. And he expounds on this in these two verses. He tells us how to give and how to get, and how God will bless those that are cheerful givers. For a little while, I thought it'd be good on this Sunday morning, first Sunday here in November 2015, I remind somebody that he reminds us of the blessing of Christian giving. First of all, there's a priority in giving. Somebody said priority. You grossly misinterpret if you think of it only in terms of money. I try to remind folks that give God some time, some talent, some tissue. Give God some things. Give God all those things that you want folks to give unto you. But he tells us in verse 37, he said, "Judge not, that ye also is not judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." He reminds us of here in verse 38, "Give, and it will be given unto you." And what he really is telling us is that as we invest in the kingdom, God will invest in your life. I try to remind folks that if you really want God to take you somewhere you've never been, you got to learn how to trust in God. Somebody say trust in God. You got to trust in God when things are well, as well as when things are not well. I challenge you here today to understand that people matter more to God than possessions. And I want somebody to understand that today, that it ain't so much about possessions. Possessions come and go, but people are important to God. And look, you may not have what other folk got, but be thankful for what you got. And by the house of me, can I get on first base for somebody listening? You got feet to stand on, got legs to walk on, got eyes to see, with got hands you can lift up in this air. You got something to be. Are y'all praying here with me? The other day I was riding down the highway, and I looked over to the side. I saw four cars lined up. They had hit each other because everybody driving fast. And somebody that was driving faster than somebody else, and cars were lined up. And I thought about it could be me.
Yes, sir.
Anybody in the house with me here? That sometimes that things look a certain way, and it could be you. Amen. But because God has been so good to us, we ought to take time out in our daily living and take time out to thank God for things as well as they are. I want to remind somebody here that it don't have to be as good as it is. Your finances may not be what you want it to be. Y'all pray with me for a while. Your mindset may not be as good as it should be. Your physicalness may not be what you want it to be. But because of who God is, God will get you through it.
Yeah, he will.
If he gets you to it. The priority of Christian giving is to understand your relationships are God-given just as much as your other resources. God will bless you.
Yes, sir.
When you're a child of the King. So first of all, they're the priority of Christian giving. We got to understand, because he tells us in verse 37, he said, "Judge not,
and you shall not be judged. The word judge described in the process of a person that was tried, convicted, and punished. But Jesus reminds us here, you must not act if you are a judge and jury over other people.
Right.
That's when I tell folks all the time, don't speak evil of other folk.
Yes, sir.
Oh Lord, let me speak to somebody here. But he reminds us in James 4:11-12, do not speak evil against one another. Brothers, the one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges of the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the word.
Right.
Stay with me for a little while. See, just don't be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that, so often times, folk hear the word Sunday after Sunday.
Right.
Keep on doing the same thing. Are y'all praying here with me?
Yes,
the statement calls us to judge between good and bad. I promise you today, if you just do what's right,
amen.
When you do what's right, God will reward faithfulness.
Yeah.
Oh, I know I'm right about it. Jesus does not forbid all judging, but he forbids self-righteous judging.
Yes,
let me not tell folks all the time, don't talk about other folks' business. You need to look at your own situation.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad indictment against the church when you got one group against another group and they serving the same God. I'll get on somebody's base here in a minute. When you're doing it for the Lord, we all are in God's army. Last Sunday night I was over at Zion Hill Baptist Church and they put old South Memphis preacher up to speak for a little while, and I had to remind them I come from these streets here in Memphis, Tennessee. And I said, now they got games, but they have always had games in the community. They just didn't do like they doing now. Oh, I know I'm right about it. I told them they got games in the church, amen. They got games on the job. But nevertheless, God will have a superiority over the game. But what we got to do is to do the right thing. Y'all pray with me for a while. And Jesus is not with a bunch of foolishness that's going on in our world today. And see, so many times, folks don't understand that we need to stop judging one another. But we got to learn how to love. Why y'all praying here?
Yeah.
You know, I don't get caught up. Don't get caught up because Joe Blow go get a new car. I want to encourage Joe Blow because he got to pay his own bills. Anybody in the house with me here? Don't hate, but learn how to appreciate. Amen. Give folk encouraging words because you got a season. Good God Almighty. You got a season that's coming. If you do what's right, God is going to bless you too.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I know I'm right about it. I think in verse 37 it says, condemn not and you will not be condemned. The word condemn is also a legal term closely related to the word judge. See, so many folks, they so righteous. Every time you see them, they so holy. But I promise you, I bet if you follow them home, they ain't as holy. Are y'all praying here with me? They're not as holy as they appear to be. Well, the one who does not judge will not have to stand in judgment with fear. Let's me understand the scripture. It reminds us in Hebrews 9:27, it says, it's appointed for man to die once. And after that comes, are y'all here with me? We all got to stand in the judgment seat. And God will, he will remind us of our faults. Well, this concept, the religious leaders, they stood against Jesus because they felt like they had caught this woman in the very act of adultery. But the law of Moses commanded us to stone her. But Jesus wrote on the ground, he said, what do ye say? He said, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. Well, as the story goes, on by one, the crowd slowly dispersed. Jesus looked up and said, woman, Where are thou accusers? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. Neither do I condemn you. He said, go, and from now on, he said, sin so no more. I thought I'd tell somebody here today, God would always have the last word. Work on jobs and folks clowning and going on. I want to remind you that God would have the last word. This is the heart of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Even John chapter 3, verse 16-17, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, can I footnote that? I said to our teachers earlier, last week I was talking about eternal life, and I didn't want to mess anybody up about once saved, always saved. But I wanted to remind them that when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, the Bible reminds us that he said, no man can pluck you out.
Yes, sir.
See, S-I-N will always separate the M-A-N from God. Somebody gonna catch you on the way home, amen. It's nothing but sin that separates man from God. But once you're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, in the midst of that, people may pull at you, the devil may try to hurt you, but once you're saved and you believe in Jesus as your personal savior, you're saved. But the S-I-N will try to keep you from the S-O-N, but because you have confessed with your mouth, because you believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible said, thou shalt be
saved.
Then they go on and say, Mark 16, 15, it said, he that believeth and is baptized, it said, the same shall be. Y'all pray with me for a while. So first of all, Jesus reminds us here about the concept when we look at the blessing of Christian giving. First of all, he gives us the priority of Christian giving. He reminds us that it's important that we take time out to give unto God that which we owe to God. But he reminds us here, even in Romans 8:1, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It is the only right that Jesus commands those that he delivers from condemnation, not to condemn other people. See, that's some folks show up on Sunday and they feel like they have lived a perfect life. But I want to share notice of somebody here that we all are saints.
Come on, friends.
With sinner problems.
Yeah.
But I've been saying that a long time. Old preacher said to me, had me laughing at the minister lines. He said, I know when you get up, you're going to say something about the three C's. You know, I've been talking about the three C's, about your conduct, character, and your conversation. See, some folks ain't gotta even know who you are. But just in your conversation, they ought to know that you have some type of relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, in your conduct, you know, when they see you out and you're hanging out with the fellows and ladies, you're hanging out with your girlfriends, they ought to be able to see in your conduct really the type of person you really are.
Yeah.
But not only that, but your character.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, sometimes you really can't tell who a person really is to some trials and tribulations come into their life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the real character.
Yes, sir.
So your conduct, your conversation, and your character. It speaks really of who you are. Do I have a witness here?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, he reminds us of the priority of Christian giving. And he reminds us in Matthew 18:35, he says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Well, that concept, we gotta learn how to forgive other folks. Dr. Stephen Alford, who had an office over here on Riverdale Avenue, over here on Winchester, he said this here several years ago, we were at his seminar. He said, giving satisfies the soul. It edifies the church, and then it magnifies the Lord. You know, I put a pin on that because he think about what it says here. He said, giving satisfies the soul.
Yes, sir.
And then it edifies the church.
Yes, sir.
And then it magnifies the Lord.
Yeah.
Can I say it again?
Yes, sir.
I want somebody to catch this here.
Yes, sir.
Offered, yeah, some of y'all know who he is. Over here on Riverdale had what we call a good resort place here. It's kind of hidden by the woods right there off Riverdale across from Anointed Temple of Praise. He had a place over there that people used to go rent. And he once said, giving satisfies the soul.
Yes, sir.
It edifies the church.
Yes, sir.
And it magnifies the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Somebody still ain't caught it yet. Can I say it one more time? Hazel, this is worth writing down here. It says, giving satisfies the soul.
Yes.
It edifies the church.
Yes, sir.
And it magnifies.
Yes.
Yes. One more time, I'll leave it alone. He said, giving satisfies the
soul.
It edifies and it magnifies. Thank y'all so much. Well, therefore, it should be no surprise that the primary command in this call to giving is placed on verse 38. Let's look at it spiritually and I'll let you go. He said, give. And it shall be what?
Giving.
I want to stop there. Therefore, it should be no surprise that the primary command that he says is give. That it means to give something to someone of your own accord. And that means that as you give, God is going to do something for you. Y'all pray with me for a while.
Yeah.
It's a needed reminder that you have not given if you have to beg. Oops.
Yeah.
Y'all pray with me for a minute.
Yeah.
Huh? It's in the text. Okay, I say it again. It's a reminder that you have not given if you have to what?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. He said, force, push, bribe, or manipulate it to do it. And you have not given if your primary concern is what you may get.
Come on,
oh my God. Y'all help, y'all pray for me. That's not giving. That's a negotiation. Am I on somebody's first base?
Yes, sir.
I want to show you, and I promise y'all, I won't deal with this anytime in the future. But when you give,
yes, sir,
that's your blessing that God has given you.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to. Good God Almighty, I better stop. You don't give to get. That's not giving, that's a negotiation. True, generously giving is to give willingly.
Yes, sir.
Let's read the Bible says, it says, the Lord loveth. What kind of giver? Y'all stay with me for a while. I want to show you, God can do some great things in your life. Oh my Jesus. Wise man, check it out. Lambert, wise man came to the aid of a needy traveler. In the process, he opened his small pouch of belongings and offered the man a precious stone worth a small fortune. The traveler was amazed at his good fortune and quickly left to sell this valuable stone. But the man returned a few days later with the valuable jewel. He had placed it in the wise man's hand and said, now please give me something much more precious than this stone. Please give me that which you enabled you to give it away. And what he was really saying, the traveler understood this fact about generosity that many of us fail to understand. True giving starts. If you give somebody something, you ain't giving them to them to get something back. You give them because that's what your heart is telling you to do. Anybody here with me?
Yes, sir.
When you love somebody, young ladies, y'all hear me out. If he loves you, he gonna treat you like a jewel.
Yes, sir.
Hey, fellas, let me tell y'all something too. If she love you, she gonna look good for you. She may even try to cook for you. Do I have witness here? Are y'all in the house with me?
Yes, sir.
Well, she gonna do something for you. I better not say that now. Pray with me now, amen. Yeah. I gotta come on with it now. But what I'm saying in the context of it, when you love somebody,
yes, sir,
you give,
yes,
not looking to get.
Yes.
Oh, I know I'm in the house here. Don't throw nothing up here at me yet, amen. If this is real, Jesus commended even the widow woman, who offered, when you look at Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44, she talks about the widow's mite. Well, she offered two mites, which together was worth less than a penny. But Jesus commended the widow because she gave all that she had.
Yes, sir.
Are y'all here with me?
Yes, sir.
Rather than the others who gave large amounts, because generosity is not about the amount of the gift.
Yes, sir.
It's about the willingness of the heart.
Amen.
Do I have a witness here?
Yes, sir.
Well, Jesus commands us willingly to give. Well, let me be very clear this morning, not only about your priority, the priority of Christian giving, but then also the practice of Christian giving. God wants you to give. Yes, he does. He wants you to give money, but he wants you to give cheerfully, intentionally, locally, regularly, sacrificially, and voluntarily, worshipfully, and quietly. But the fact that you faithfully pay tithes and regularly give offerings is not an excuse to cop out of personal responsibility to Christian service. And the reason I say that this morning, I had a conversation with God the other evening that I'm praying for our Sunday school, our Bible study ministries here at the church. I think this is a good time to put in a plug. We got some good teachers here at Norris Avenue.
Yes, sir.
I need your help. I believe that in order for church to be a stronger church, you need to come to Sunday school. I've asked the teachers to work on what they do, and I'm gonna work on what I do, but I promise you, the more of the word that you get, the better off your life will be. It starts with our children and our grandchildren. And I believe if we get them in the teaching of the gospel, the teaching of the word, that you'll see a difference in their life. Somebody said, well, I don't know, Reverend, but no, you gotta try it to receive it. And if you believe it, you shall receive it.
Yes, sir.
Well, here, when I looked here at the text, he said, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together. And then he says, running over. Well, church, I believe in my heart that as you walk with God, as you talk with God, as you live for God, that God can do some great things in your life. Do I have a witness here?
Yeah.
I believe that God can take you from where you are to where he wants you to be. So not only this concept of the priority of Christian giving, but that also the practice, but then thirdly, the promise. This command is given in verse 38. It's this call to giving. This signifies that God goes beyond the form of precious of givings that we get, because he continually reminds us, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you. Either you're judged, or you're not. Either you're condemned, or you're not. Either you're forgiven, or you're not. But the promise to those who give is not, it's a reciprocal of understanding that you're going to get back what you invest in. I thought about Brother Job. Job lost all that he had. But then Job got double. Yeah. Oh, yes, he did. God gave him back twice that what he had lost. But here's my point this morning, as I get ready to end this message, to remind you that the blessing of Christian giving is that, first of all, you can't beat God's giving. Well, all you got to do is look around, and you know, and what I mean by that, the concept, I understand yesterday the willing workers and the missionaries and Brother Mason and Jalen, they all went to the nursing home. And I just believe somebody in the nursing home can testify that you can't be God's giving. I just believe that they'll shout out, thank you, Jesus. I just believe that somebody in here can say, after all I've been through, I still have joy. But then not only that, I believe, secondly, he'll never allow himself to be outgiven. Well, then what I mean by that, the Lord will always make sure that he's more generous with you than you are with him. Anybody ever been in trouble before and didn't know how you were going to get out? Some way or another, God did it. I don't know how he did it, but I can testify that God did it. Amen. I've been telling folks a long time that I don't know how he does what he does, but I just believe God does it. Hey, do I have a witness here? But then fourthly, those who give generously are rewarded generously. And I can base that on the word of God, because the word reminds us in this concept as we get ready to go into the holiday season. I thought about Dr. Lintrono. He was the inventor of earth moving machines. And I never understood when I did some study on these African American givers, I never understood why they were so confident in the faithfulness of God. Over the years, they would invent different things and somebody else would get credit for them. Thought about Elvis Presley when I was over there on Union Avenue and I went to the music studio, and I thought about him saying that I learned the song from a man on the street. And I thought about how so many times we are picked on to be picked out, to understand that God allows trouble to come in our lives. And I want to remind somebody here today that it's not over till God said it's over. Do I have a witness here? That's the reason I can talk about the priority of Christian giving, the practice of Christian giving. And then I remind somebody here that there is a promise. And God reminds us of the promise. Even when we read Proverbs 3:9-10, he said, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. I thought about Malachi 3:10 when it says, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And he said, and try me now, and this says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings, that there will not be room enough to receive. I thought about 2 Corinthians 9 around verse 7. And Minister Waller, I thought about how he says, so let each one give as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have an all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance of every good work. I thought about my first sermon, Brother Davis, the other day, when he said every good and perfect gift, he said, comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness. He reminds us that it all comes from God. That's why I try to remind folks that the Lord giveth and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Went by Forest Hill, Irene, just the other day. I think it was yesterday. And I thought about how God has put people in our lives. And I remind myself that this is God's business. I had Chantel Mabow in New Orleans, Louisiana this week. I just believe God's word. When David said, I've been young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, or a seed begging for bread, and with tears in my eyes, coming down Highway 55, good God Almighty, through Jackson, Mississippi, I thought about how other folks had paved the way for us to be where we are today. Roscoe Dixon called me as I was traveling through Mendenhall, Mississippi, and I heard him say, Duggar, can I use your church? I got some meeting I need to have. I thought about those that had come through the highway and byways. They had set up systems for us to be where we are today. And I want to take time out to tell them, I just thank you for what you've done for us. And I thank you for the blessing of Christian giving. Because if it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be today? Somebody know what I mean? If it had not been for the Lord, there'd been opportunities to come our way. There'd been joy to come our way. There have been disappointments to come our way. But because of God, and because we learned how to give, God would make a way for us. Well, I thank the Lord for that today. Well, when I get ready to close here, I try to remind people here, the longest you do this, nothing comes in. And nothing goes out. Y'all better stay with me for a minute here. Long as you tight and ain't right, nothing comes in. And nothing goes out. But when you freely give, when you give God some glory, when you give God some opportunity, when you share about how wonderful God has been in your life, when you remind folks that every now and then you look back over your life and you see where God has brought you from. You understand what giving is all about. When that child see you acting right, when that child see you talking right, when that child see you working right, your soul ought to be exceedingly happy. Well, good evening, Norris Avenue. I wanted to share that he says it in the text here. He reminds us in verse 38, he says, in the midst of this, for with the same measure shall you meet with the, it shall be measured to you again. And what I mean by that is that God is going to give it back. If you take care of God's business, God will take care of your business. Every now and then, Uncle Wayne, I have to have what I call a time with God. And I start talking to God. Y'all may look at me crazy now. And it seems like God is talking to me. And I can hear his voice saying everything. Gonna be all right. For somebody listening here, you may be in the valley right now. But I tell you today, you ain't gonna be there long. Because God is gonna see you through the valley. From the vision to the victory. There's a valley you gotta go through. And while you're in the valley, God will make you realize that you ain't all that in a bag of potato chips. But God will remind you, I got this. I'll take care of you. What a mighty God we serve. Ain't God all right? Well, that's old story that Dr. Gardner C. Taylor reminds us here. And I'll close as I tell this story today. He reminds us here about a missionary who got an unexpected visitor at his hut one Sunday afternoon. It was one of the little boys of the village. And you know, Sister Banks kind of reminded me of Jeremiah. And he was carrying a rather large fish. He said to the missionary, I went fishing this afternoon, and I remember what you taught us today about tithing. He said, so here I am to bring you my tithe. The missionary graciously, he took the fish, but asked, if this is your tithe, where is the other nine fish? With a big smile, the little boy said, they still in the river. I'm going to go catch them now. And I want to remind somebody here, that's what faith is all about. Do I have a witness here? Sometimes you got to go home because this is a faith day. All I do now, I want to remind somebody that because you may not see it, don't mean it don't exist. But you keep on walking. You keep walking when you're walking by faith. The more you walk, the better you feel. Somebody here, you want a blessing from God. You keep walking by faith. Somebody wants better health. Keep on walking by faith. Somebody just going through some stuff. Keep on walking. Yeah. Somebody want a financial blessing. Keep on. Are y'all here with me? I understand the songwriter, Mother Dear, when he said, you have longed for sweet peace and for grace to increase. You're fervently prayed. But he said, but you cannot have rest or be perfectly be blessed until your all is laid on the altar of sacrifice laid. And I want to remind somebody here, when you give it to God, you didn't know all that you can do. Do we have a witness here? The same God that sent his son, and his son gave his life. And in my closing, I thank him for all he's done. Because the more I give, the more God give back to me. Sometimes it's peace in the middle of a storm. Sometimes it's joy in my time of sorrow. Sometimes when I'm sick, he pushes me till I get well. Same God, with tears in my eyes, he keeps on making a way. I got a witness here today. Somebody know God will take care of you. Beneath his wing abide. So be not dismayed. Whatever